Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. Yes, it is, and an interesting day. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
You have to take deeper breaths before you say 2014, so you got enough. Got to have enough air there to come.
I know.
Can't just say 2014.
Well,
you gotta,
just, I'm, you know, my mind is still 2013. So, anyway, what a day it was in
1999. I know. Somehow I think I missed the big 2000 millennial New Year's Eve party. I don't know. It just seemed to slide by, and it wasn't that big a deal.
Well, there was no party with gold today. If anything, it was a funeral. But not bad. No, it's not bad, folks. Take advantage of it. Today, after the two-day meeting with the Federal Reserve, it was Janet Yellen's first meeting that she was in charge of, and certainly the markets didn't like what she had to say. The Dow originally plummeted about 160 points. It did come back. It was settling out about 110 down, a little more than 1%. The S&P and the NASDAQ, they were both down about 1%. And, of course, now all the interest, all the focus is shifting from Russia to the Federal Reserve and to what Ms. Yellen or Mrs. Yellen was about to say. And what she's coming out and saying is, after the two-day policy meeting, she said the Fed stimulus program would most likely be finished by the fall and that a rate hike could come as early as 2015. The 10-year note, 10-year yield, that rose significantly, as did the U.S. dollar in the index. So they both had a major upside, but everything else kind of fell to the wayside. So let's get going right into the gold prices today, and we'll talk a little bit more about what she had to say and what her plans are. And really, it isn't any different than what Ben Bernanke's plans were and what he was saying and what the powers to be will be saying and telling them what to say. You have the Dow, or you have the gold down 25.50 today at 1331.
What are you reading?
What?
Okay, $1,331.
Yes.
Okay. Unless you said 113.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Now.
I'm pretty sure.
Why don't you usual.
Uh-huh.
You have silver down 23 cents today at $20.69, down about 1.1%. You had the gold down almost 2%. Platinum was down $10 a day at $14.52, along with palladium down 5 at $765. The USDX today, you know, it's up 0.62, but it's still at 80. With that news, actually, should be much higher. But we'll see what it does tomorrow. Crude oil was up 0.70 at 100.40. And the paper markets today after these announcements. The Dow down 114 points at 16,222. The NASDAQ was down 25 at 43.07. And the S&P was down 11 at 1860. And the 10-year yield 2.77, up 0.09 from 2.68 yesterday. So that's it from the Federal Reserve. And she's blaming a lot of the bad news, of course, on weather. It's a good excuse for everything. And so she even jumped on board to talk about it. She said that the labor market indicators were mixed but unbalanced, and they showed further improvement. The unemployment rate remains elevated. Household spending and business fixed income investments continue to advance, while the recovery in the housing sector remains slow. Fiscal policy is restraining economic growth, although the extent of restraint is diminishing. And, of course, inflation has been running below the committee's longer-run objective, but longer-term inflation expectations have remained stable. She says the U.S. economy is not close to full employment, even as the unemployment rate has dropped a full percentage point over the past 12 months to 6.7%. They actually downplayed the importance of the unemployment rate as a sign of the economy's health. Of course, they're going to downplay it because they know exactly, you know, what the true unemployment number is. Fed officials ended their two-day meeting, and so perhaps raising short-term interest rates the first of next year, and other measures will be taken, of course, of the economy as well. And that's it in a nutshell. I don't think there's anything there that was really, you know, not expected, Al.
I didn't hear anything radical.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where, again,
it's a knee-jerk.
The stories, rumors of government manipulation of the markets, you know, they're rampant. And if you believe in them, it seems more like what we've seen is evidence of manipulation rather than reaction to real news. What was so radical about that? Here's I can hear was pretty much just, we've heard it before. Was there a departure in her speech from what had been said before? I didn't think so.
No.
So I don't see good reason for this, but nevertheless, here we are. We have something, some significant changes in the market, notably the price of gold and the value of the U.S. dollar as measured on the U.S. dollar index. Dollar had been down below 80 for most of 2 weeks, which was very surprising, and now it's back up to exactly 80 last time, according to the last report. It was a little over that. It was a point or two over that, and it fell back down to 80 exactly where it's going to be, you know, at the close, where it's going to be tomorrow. We'll watch and see. But the concern, everyone's concern is this evidence that the powers that be are going to slap gold down again? They've been on their good behavior for a while, and we can reasonably wonder, are the powers that be, are they just knocking gold down again? Is that what's happened? Because if they are, then it puts a certain amount of fear in everyone. We get a certain, oh my gosh, where's this going? I've said before, if gold goes to $1,000 an ounce, it suits me just fine. That just means more for me. It's hard to know what really happened today and what caused gold to fall $25 today. Hard to know. We can't know. We don't know. You can speculate. One of the things that intrigues me, one of the things that interests me, is that Andy Hoffman reported in one of his earlier reports, I think it was yesterday or the day before, he says clearly gold and silver are starting to sense this. He's talking about the rise. We've had persistent rises. Gold and silver have been rising. They're up 10% in the last 90 days. But we've had significant, we had an interesting little downturn here this week. And so Hoffman's talking about the prices of gold. And he says, despite historic epic suppression efforts, they continue to rise each week, gold, the prices of gold and silver. Now, we don't know where it's going to end up this week. It could be, in fact, it looks like it'll be down probably as compared to previous week. But he says potentially putting the so-called golden cross into play as early as next week. The golden cross is an extremely bullish technical event, and it occurs whenever the 50-day moving average of a particular commodity or whatever, stock or whatever it is you're following, crosses above the 200-day moving average. Thousands of traders, when they see this golden cross, that in the last 50 days, the price of whatever product you're following has exceeded its 200-day moving average. This is typically a bullish event. People want to jump in. They want to buy. Hoffman points out that the golden cross could come into play as early as next week. And if that happened, thousands of traders worldwide would jump on the precious metals bandwagon, which will only put more pressure on the tightest physical market situations in our lifetime, meaning there's really not enough physical gold around to satisfy the demand. And that's coming closer and closer. So point I'm making is that it appears possible to me that while people sit back and speculate that the next technical barrier for gold is 1200 or 1250 or 1300 or 1324, or pick a number, all right? And they have these little technical barriers according to technical analysts. If we can exceed that, then we're likely to go up to the next technical barrier, which is, who knows, 1400 or wherever. It may be that the real barrier, the thing that they are going to defend more than anything else, is this golden cross. It may be that the barrier that really will determine where gold's going, if the 50-day moving average can cross above the 200-day moving average, then we have legitimate beginning of a bull market. And if it's true that government is trying to suppress the price of gold in order to maintain the apparent value of the fiat dollar, then this may be one of the lines that they absolutely will defend. Maybe they'll pay attention to the technical lines of resistance, and maybe they won't. But this golden cross strikes me as the one that the government won't want gold, the 50-day moving average, to cross the 200-day moving average. But here's the problem. If the 200-day moving average continues to decline, as it falls lower, which is what apparently has been happening, it becomes increasingly probable and even virtually inevitable that the 50-day moving average will cross the 200-day moving average. Let's suppose the 200-day moving average fell all the way down to $1,000 an ounce. Well, how hard would it be for the 50-day moving average to cross that 200-day moving average? And the answer is not very. And the truth is, it's not even very hard now for the 50-day moving average in gold to cross the 200-day moving average. We're close. And although government may have knocked the price down, and this may be their reason, it's just speculation on my part, but the 50-day moving average does cross above the 200-day moving average, then I think gold's going to fly. We'll watch and see. And whether or not that golden cross, is that the reason they knocked gold down today, Melody? You know, it's pure speculation. We can't possibly know. But is it reasonable to think that that possibility has
I don't think their intent was to knock the gold down. I think it was to get the dollar up.
Well, same thing pretty much.
You know, I think that was the focus. And I think when you have these one-day knee-jerk reactions, you know, they they don't mean a lot. And tomorrow, to me, is a better indicator of where things will be heading and so forth. But, I mean, when you come out with an announcement at 2 and the markets close shortly thereafter, yeah, it doesn't give a lot of time to do much. And I truly do believe they have positions placed one way or another. You know, they make their bet prior to, and they'll be on either side of the call, and, you know, people will make a lot of money on either side. But then tomorrow, I do believe things will filter through a little bit more. But they certainly did need to get that dollar up, you know, with the things on Russia, with the concern that they'll be dumping those dollars into the market. There was a, I think we talked about this before in a generality, but there was an economic advisor, and he says this is his personal opinion, not a government policy. But of course, they would.
You mean a Russian government advisor? Yeah, I know. Glasky or something like
Sergei
that.
Sergei Glazev.
Yeah, that's
right. He says Russia can circumvent the economic sanctions being applied by the U.S. and Europe through the use of other currencies and the creation of its own payment system.
Yep.
And it's really, you know, and well, they supply a lot of oil. They have their position. And again, I think this is another sign now where these countries are positioning themselves for the collapse of the financial system that's coming. And once the petrodollar no longer has the power and the connection to control and to, you know, tell these guys what to do.
I agree. I think everyone understands who looks at this, who looks at the dollar and begins to follow it. I think everyone pretty much understands that it's a dead man walking, essentially. It's still moving, it's still ambulatory, it's not dead now, and it isn't going to die in the next, who knows, near term. But it is likely to continue to decline. And nobody knows where we get to that trigger point. And the dollar will have declined sufficiently where all of a sudden it finally snaps in the sense of a catastrophic failure on an aircraft where a wing can bend and bend and bend and bend and the plane continues to fly while the wing is under increasing stress, but all of a sudden it hits that moment of catastrophic failure and the wing snaps and now the plane goes out of control. More than likely, a lot of people accept that analogy as a description of what's likely to happen, but no one really knows when it's likely to happen. We can see the wing bend, and we can see the wing bend and bend, and we see more evidence. There's more stress on the wing. They're putting more weight on the wing, and we don't know when it's going to snap, but a lot of people are concerned that it will, and we will try to play the game right up until the very end and try to get out. This will be human nature. If we think it's going to snap, let's say we think it's going to snap on August 15th, then some of us will inevitably think we're smart enough to play the game and make all of our profits up until August 14th when we bail out and we congratulate ourselves on how smart we are. Of course, if it turns out that it snaps on the 13th rather than the 15th, those of us who plan to wait until the 14th are in for a big and unpleasant surprise. Point being, if you can see what's coming, don't get on that plane or get off that plane. If you got to take a parachute, get out of the plane. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a couple of moments to talk more about President Putin and Russia, what's happening in the Crimea. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Alfred Adusk. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. What's next, Melody?
We're running $25 face value, 90% silver bags, $400. And we also had some nice 50-cent pieces in there. There's some Walkers in there. There's some Franklins in there, Ben Franklins, Kennedy half dollars. So we got a mixture of those 50-cent pieces. Nice little mix, $400. $25 face value, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. This morning I was on Beth's program, Al, and I went to one of my competitors and I pulled up one of their specials, and it was for Walking Libs. They were charging $13.25 per coin. Our coin is $8 for 50-cent pieces. Well, one of the three, whether it be a Kennedy, Franklin, or a Walker, it's $8 versus a $13.25. And I thought, I wonder what the percentage. That's a 65% difference. That's huge.
Yeah, no. No, it doesn't take any sense. I mean, $18 versus basically $14, you're paying almost three-quarters more.
On a full bag, you'd be paying over $26,000, that's $10,000 of needless markup. That's money in their $10,000 on a bag of their coins. So,
what's that evidence of? People who don't do their homework.
I know.
People who don't do their homework. All of a sudden they just say, oh, I've got to buy some gold or I've got to buy some silver or something. They get the fever and they understand that they need to get into something that's an alternative to paper currency, and they understand that much, but they don't bother checking to see what sort of prices are available.
Absolutely, and that's how these places, and that's the places that go out of business. How do they get to the point of millions and millions and millions of dollars that they can't supply product for? It's because people allow it. Mm-hmm. Just like when people say, when a business says, oh, well, we'll ship in 5 weeks or 6 weeks, why would you even do business with them? You're asking for it. And I don't care who it is. Certainly there's situations. I mean, we go into this area during the first of the year where there's backlogs for the new year dates on Gold Eagles and Silver Eagles. But it's a temporary situation. That I can understand. But when you have a consistency of and policy, company policy, that they don't ship for 6 weeks, I don't know why people do it. But yeah. Anyway, give us a call, folks. Be safe out there. Shop around. Give us a call. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We have Greg Hunter coming on the program April 2nd. We're doing some work with him. We're going to be the supplier of gold and silver on his website. And he says, you know, he says, I checked your prices out. He says, you're even lower than those other online sellers of gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a compliment because we do a lot, Al. We do a lot with our money that we make here at Discount Gold and Silver. It goes back into education and support of good programs. So that was a compliment. And so, folks, make sure you mark your calendars. April 2nd, we're going to have Greg Hunter on the program.
Okay, we got an article here from New York Times, and the headline is Putin reclaims Crimea for Russia and bitterly denounces the West. And this article reflects the same idea Melody was talking about in the first part of the program, about the relationship of Russia in general to the value of the dollar. And it's part of the reason why there's not much we can really do. You know, despite, we talked yesterday, Obama had, as of yesterday, he had put sanctions on 11 Russian and Ukrainian leaders, right? Which would affect their bank balances and their ownership of property outside of Russia, and particularly if it was in the United States. And it didn't amount to anything. It was a triviality. It was silly. It was mindless. What we see is more evidence. This just illustrates the fact, and it's important people get hold of this idea and realize how vulnerable we are to Russia, right? They're running in the driver's seat right now, and it has nothing to do with nuclear weapons. It has to do with monetary weapons. Here's the article, or some of the text from the article. It says, President Vladimir Putin reclaimed Crimea as part of Russia on Tuesday, reversing what he described as an historic injustice inflicted by the Soviet Union by the Soviet Union 60 years ago, and brushing aside international condemnation that would leave Russia isolated for years to come. The historic injustice he's talking about is that Crimea was part of Russia up until 60 years ago. The Soviet Union, not Russia itself, the Soviet Union decided they would move the Crimea and associate it with the Ukraine rather than Russia, which is where it had been for 200 years anyway. Now, that what they regard as an historical injustice has been reversed, and the Crimea will once again be part of Russia. All right? So, but he brushes aside... Additionally, he brushes aside international condemnation that could leave Russia isolated for years to come. Now, this is just nonsensical. Nothing is going to isolate Russia so long as it supplies 25% of the European Union's natural gas. They are not going to be isolated for years to come. It can't happen. Won't happen. It's nonsense to suppose that's even a legitimate threat at this time. Years to come, isolation of a major oil producer. You know, that's just crazy talk. More importantly, the primary value of the fiat dollar is based on its status as world reserve currency. Dollars are no longer backed by gold, no longer backed by silver. It was, and to some degree still is, backed by petroleum from the Nixon administration in 1971 up until 2000, the dollar was the only currency that you could use in the world to buy petroleum on the international market. All right, the dollar was implicitly backed by petroleum, and thus we had petrodollars until Saddam Hussein in Iraq started selling Iraqi crude oil for euros rather than dollars. And when he did that, that's the real reason we invaded. came up with some cock and bull story about weapons of mass destruction, but in fact the reason he had the audacity to sell his crude oil for something other than dollars. And if he was allowed to get away with that, the value of the dollar would be diminished substantially. And in fact, it has been. Since 2000, it was up at 125 on the U.S. dollar index. In 2000, it's down to 80 right now. It's lost a third of its value over the course of, what is this, the last 14 years. And it will continue to decline as more nations start trading for petroleum products in currencies other than the dollar. As more nations move away from the dollar, as the world's as it's seen that the dollar is no longer the only way you can, the only medium you can use to purchase crude oil or petroleum products, as that becomes less and less the case, nations will move away from the dollar, and the dollar, the value of the dollar will fall. That means we will see inflation, probably significant inflation, perhaps hyperinflation. So the point in all of this, if the United States successfully isolates Russia, so we're going to fix you, we're going to isolate you. You know what Russia's going to do? They will be forced to do, and they're already working on it, but they will be forced to stop accepting payments for its natural gas and petroleum products in fiat dollars, which is what it does right now. Huh? European Union is to some degree paying for the natural gas that it gets from Russia with petrodollars. If Russia is isolated, it won't be able to take petrodollars, and it will start selling all of its natural gas and petroleum products for currencies other than dollars. And the net result is that by isolating Russia, assuming that was even possible, our government would force a major nation, Russia, to abandon the fiat dollar as world reserve currency. If insofar as our role, the dollar's role as world reserve currency, is diminished, that's the only thing that gives it value right now. As the dollar slides away, further and further away from that dominant role as world reserve currency, the value of the dollar will continue to decline. Inflation will rise, prices will rise, and if you think you've got interesting prices at the grocery store now, just wait until we isolate Russia. It will cause major inflation even here in the United States. So the point I'm trying to make is that the government can't afford to isolate Russia. Russia is in a position where if we try to isolate them as economic sanction for annexing the Crimea, we're only going to accelerate the demise of the fiat dollar. And it is for that reason that we aren't about to do that. I don't believe even the Obama administration is stupid enough to isolate Russia and force a further decline in the value of the world reserve currency and the fiat dollar. Instead, I strongly suspect that by the end of April, within another month or so, President Obama will seek to make peace with the Russian President Putin and even offer some special deal to entice Putin to continue using fiat dollars in the sale of Russian natural gas to the European Union. That story from the New York Times continues.
We have a call. Can we interrupt? We have a caller. We have Ivan on the phone.
All right, Ivan, what do you got? Hello, Ivan.
Hi, how are you doing, Al and Melody?
Hi.
What really bothers me is that nobody talks about the Holodomor, okay? The starvation of 10 million Ukrainians under the Soviet Russia. In 32 and 33, okay? We are talking about 6 million here and so, but 10.5 million Ukrainians died, and nobody says a word. If it's MSM, mainstream media, or anyone else, it's kind of amused. And yet, you know, the Ukrainians bled close to 30-35% of them who died of starvation because Russia took over all the, took their lands, took their seeds, and forced them to be on kolkhoz, which is the Russian approach to agrarian reformation.
Okay, let me ask you this, Ivan. The reason they don't talk about it is because you're suggesting that Russia perpetrated these crimes against the Ukraine. All right? But was it Russia that perpetrated those crimes, or was it the Soviet Union? Point one. And the Soviet Union, if that's the answer to the question, then the Soviet Union no longer exists. And that is a partial explanation why people don't talk about it. I'm not sure that you can pin this rap exclusively on Russia. Because even Russia is complaining that it was the Soviet Union that took the Crimea away from Russia and gave it to Ukraine. Putin is saying this was an injustice perpetrated by the Soviet Union. He didn't say it was perpetrated by Russia. He's talking about giving the Crimea to the Ukraine. But this is a confusing issue because we have the Soviet Union is no longer there. And to what extent are the terms Soviet Union and Russia, to what extent are they synonymous? And to what extent are they different? I mean, it's not clear that the bad guy still even exists right now.
So you're telling me that the communism is dead, am I correct?
No, I'm not telling you that. I'm saying the Soviet Union is dead. I'm not talking about communism.
Soviet Union
communism is even in this country. We have a democracy. It's a collectivist form of government.
Right.
Collectivism is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying that it's not necessarily accurate to sit back and say Russia did this to the Ukraine. Even though the Kremlin is situated in Moscow, which is within Russia, the truth of the matter is that these crimes were committed by the Soviet Union, which is not necessarily the same thing as Russia. So, you ask why people don't talk about it. Well, the Soviet Union's bye-bye. They're gone.
Well, I disagree with you on that point because the communism is well and alive. And it's still, and Putin is KGB, grown out of KGB, okay? And Russia has the same
Is that your phone or mine, Ivan?
That's my phone. That's okay. My son, I think, calling.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, but what my question was is that... we are talking about Ukraine and Russia and so on, but, Gorbachev, when he, quote-unquote, went into the democracy, he told the people in Russia that this is only for the purposes of the outside world, okay, that we are changing into democracy, which they never did, okay?
Well, they may have, but my point is it's just another variety of collectivism, and very few people appreciate that fact. Most people would say that's crazy talk, but it's not. When you get into government, it's. I won't get into the argument right now. We might talk about it after the break, but the nature of democracy is not... Mm-hmm. The Republican form of government that's expressly guaranteed in the Constitution of the United States. We have a democracy in this country, and the word democracy does not appear in our Constitution. Instead, we are guaranteed a Republican form of government. It's not the same thing. They're not synonymous, and virtually no one understands that distinction. Maybe we'll talk about it then after we get done with this break, but we're going to have to take a break. Ivan, we've got some commercials that are important. We've got to get the commercials out there. And
absolutely.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarson and Ivan. We're going to be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We're talking about the situation in the Crimea, Russia. Ivan was on the phone explaining that he blames Russia for the millions of deaths that were perpetrated in the Ukraine. I'm pointing out there was deaths were actually caused by the Soviet Union, which is not necessarily the same thing as Russia. I'm pointing out that even Russia has been claims to have been victimized by the Soviet Union insofar as the Soviet Union took that chunk of land, the Crimea, that had been Russian for a couple of hundred years. And they said, let's give it to the Ukraine state within the Union of Soviet Socialistic Republics. They moved it from associated with Russia to the Ukraine. They believe, Russians, they claim they were thereby damaged by the Soviet Union. So who's the bad guy in whatever has happened to the Ukraine? And there's another thing also. The Ukraine has problems right now which are strange and perhaps unexplained. The death rate is extremely high in the Ukraine, and it's not because of Russia. The incidence of alcoholism and tobacco use is killing people. And it's hard to say what is happening, but the population is diminishing by about 150,000 per year. Their total population is falling. There is something going on in the Ukraine that's lethal to the Ukrainian people, and it's something in their culture, it's something in their nation, and it's not blamed on forces outside the Ukraine, or not easily. It's not obviously blamed on caused by forces outside the Ukraine. I don't doubt some can be pointed to. But what is causing Ukraine even now to suffer a loss of 150,000 people a year in terms of population? And I looked that up just in the last week or so in an article probably at Wikipedia, and that was their opinion. So that's the source of that opinion. What do you think about that, Ivan?
Well, I mean, there are many nations which their birth rate is lower than their death rate, okay? I think Europe in general is falling behind also as far as
population is concerned. Technically, we're doing the same in this country if you don't allow for illegal aliens to replace the children we're not having.
That's correct. So, I mean, that That could be part of it. The other thing is the oppression of which they were for years, okay? They were, regardless if it was Soviet Union, it was still Russia. The communism was, you know, came in 1917 with the revolution, which will be shortly 100 years, you know, that will be, that they'll be celebrating the, they still have statues of Lenin and Stalin and Kaganovich and others all over Russia and Ukraine, and they're pulling them down.
Yeah, we have statues. I mean, that's one of those things, though, Ivan. We got people who fly the Confederate flag in this country, and other people get upset about it. There are always historical facts and traditions that some people like and some people don't like, and some people still embrace them today, and other people think it's crazy. I mean, that doesn't affect that there's a statue standing there. You know, it's like Egypt has statues of Ramses the Great. Well, that doesn't prove they're still running under a pharaoh. You understand? Those statues are not critical information per se. Here's my observation, though, my suspicion. Insofar as the Ukraine, for whatever reason, has its population diminishing, and I think the population is only about 10 million people altogether, isn't that right?
I'm sorry?
What's the population in the Ukraine?
About 45 million.
You think 45 million?
About 40 plus.
All right, well, in any case, insofar as there's some sort of a problem in that country right now, and they're not united. It's a country that is, in fact, for whatever reason, half Russian and half Ukrainian. At least it may not be exactly half, but significantly Russian. And the other part is significantly Ukrainian. Two different languages, two different cultures, two different nations trying to work together. That's not usually a formula for success. We've got a nation that's losing population. We've got a nation that's dying. And I suspect when a nation, any nation, shows that level of weakness, that level of disunity, I think it invites exploitation, attack from outside countries. The United States and Europe are claiming to come in and they're going to help the Ukraine, but what they wanted to help the Ukraine do was put up missile launchers to stop Russian ICBMs almost as soon as they left the launching pad. They wanted to get Ukraine to help defend Europe and particularly the United States. And all that does is put Ukraine in greater damage. I've heard reports, and I don't know them to be true, but we've heard reports that part of the deal, recent deal with the Ukraine, is that the government of the United States took 40,000 tons of Ukrainian gold. It was shipped out of the Ukraine to supposedly protect it from Russian invasion. And what's happened to the gold now? It's apparently in New York, and it's probably going to be dissipated the same way as the gold we got from Germany. It may even explain what happened in the fall of the price of gold in the last couple of days in the local markets. They finally got some more gold. Now they can go out and bust the price of gold because they have stolen gold from Ukraine. They're going to drive the price, use it as to supply gold to people who invest in paper gold and want physical delivery. They've got another 40,000 tons to perhaps fool around with on the markets right now. I'm saying that there are problems. It's like a water buffalo, you know, that dies on the plains of Africa. When it does, you're going to see lions, and you're going to see jackals, and you're going to see vultures swarming in. They're going to eat that. They're going to eat that water buffalo. And they're going to get it even if the water buffalo isn't dead, if it's just dying, it's just taking its last breaths. The predators will be there. And I think the Ukraine has been weak. And in being weak, it has invited the predators, the big predators, the global predators, international nations on a feed off of others and the scavengers. It's invited trouble with its weakness. And I'm not saying it's morally right. I'm saying I suspect it's the way the world works.
Yeah. Well, there are two things I like to just counterpoint. Why there are Russians in Ukraine is because of the 10 million or 11 million who were starved to death. that land was left open, so the Russians came in and settled in the in those areas.
Yeah.
So you have, you might have maybe 10 or whatever a million Russians in a 20% or 20% of the Ukrainian land was taken over to those. They were because they died.
You're breaking up on us, Ivan.
I guess I have a problem with the phone, but I just wanted to point out that why the Russians are Ukrainians, because they can.
I understand that. There's
the land.
They are there. Here's the point. They are there. That's point one.
But
they are there.
They
point
came
two,
in because.
Are they welcome? Are they welcomed into the nation of Ukraine by the Ukrainian people? Or
no,
the Ukrainian people wish the Russians had never come. Were they welcomed in there, or are they kept as outcasts? You keep them as outcasts,
they're
going to say, heck, they don't want to be part of it. We're leaving.
Yeah, they came in
is not a pure problem. This is not a pure problem where we can point to either side and say this side is absolutely good and this side is absolutely bad. This is one of those things, and my only my primary point since this began is that the United States doesn't have any business over there. It's not our problem.
Well,
the Russians are going to do what they're going to do. We're not going to be able to stop them. Why do we get involved? You know.
Well, I agree. We don't have any power to really project in that direction. I mean we have enough problems internally. But what from historical perspective, and I as a Slovak, born Slovak and U.S. citizen, we lived under the Czechs and Austro-Hungarians, and we lost a lot of people, and they came in and took over the positions.
The world continues to turn.
Right.
I'm half Russian. I'm half Russian. You understand? So what?
Okay.
I don't mean both of my grandparents on my father's side were born. They were Russian serfs. They immigrated to this country back around 1900. So what? You know, what's that got to do with me? That's an interesting historical fact, but it doesn't really change who I am today.
You certainly don't have the tie-in, as let's say some of the Ukrainians who were protesting in Washington and other cities against the Russian takeover of Crimea. But there is still some blood in you and everybody else.
But there's not most. You got to. Are some things that are no longer significant, and you just got to kind of move on with them. It's unfortunate. There are people that look back to the Civil War in this country who are still, to some degree, upset about the Civil War. All right, but the fact is, it's over 100 years ago. Got to move on. All right? It may be that the South got a bad deal out of this. Maybe the South deserved everything it got. I don't know. But it's gone. It's past. It's that's the way we got to deal with this, right? And it's not a clear line.
It depends on what nation you look at. If we are looking at Israel, they are still talking about the 6 million, okay, and they still want money.
I understand. And you talk about communism. But as Melody pointed out to me during the break here, she was saying, listen.
Yeah.
People talking about, communism was a bad thing, but we don't mind buying products down at Walmart. And that's coming from a communist nation, China.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
The whole thing is, where do you would draw the line, Ivan? Where do we draw a line?
I don't know. But, I mean, the economy is bad enough that we are, just barely making it, keeping afloat. And should I agree, if Russia or China or any of these start dropping dollars, we'll be seeing inflation or depression.
Be gutted. We are going to be hurt badly if they back out of the dollar bills. And they have more leverage over us than we do over them. That's what's going on right now. And what are we going to do? Bomb them? If we do, let's bomb Russia. Let's nuke them. And if we do, what happens? European Union will have lost 25% of its natural gas, which will throw the European Union into a depression, which shortly thereafter is going to throw the United States into a depression. We can't nuke them. We can't isolate them. We can't perform significant economic sanctions against them. So why not just deal with the truth and say, look, it's out of our hands.
Mm. Well, no, I agree. We have no cards to play. I mean, you know, we are.
Good.
You know, we don't have any power, any, we are decreasing the defense forces and everything else. So, really, these sanctions which Obama and Kerry talk about is useless.
I get you. I get you. It's a certain amount of make noise is what it comes down to. Yvonne, we're going to have to turn you loose on the seatbelt.
I just wanted to bring it up that 10 million who died and, that it's well forgotten, All right. I appreciate your time and thank you very much.
Yep. Talk to you again, Yvonne. Bye-bye. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I mean, you're right. What are you going to do? And you have to move on. It's something I think it's important and needs to be recognized. And we shouldn't lose sight of it, but we do. And we have to focus on what is here and now, and how is it going to affect
now? You know, we got something happening over there. It is here and now. But there's a prayer, and I can't remember it precisely, and I can't repeat it precisely, but it says something to the effect that, God, Lord, grant me the strength to do what I can to correct the problems that are within my power to correct, and grant me enough intelligence to recognize the problems I can't do anything about, and the wisdom to tell the difference between the two of them. You understand? There's some things that are just beyond our problem, beyond our control. What are you going to do? It doesn't mean, I'm not recommending people be apathetic, but people have to be objective and they have to be reasonable. They got to sit back and say, look, you can't just posture. And when you do, Obama has, we're going to have economic sanctions. 11 people. As of, they may have more since then, but they've put sanctions on 11 people and half of them were Ukrainian. What is that? It's just nonsensical, and it diminishes our claim to power. It diminishes public confidence, not only within the United States, but the public of foreign nations' confidence in the power of the United States, and even confidence in the United States dollar. All of this is being diminished because people don't know in Washington, D.C., they can't recognize the problems that are beyond our control. They get into things, they don't belong in them, and we wind up looking stupid and weak. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day.